Hello, thanks for joining us. As a young boy growing up near Baltimore in the 1960s with a healthy curiosity as to how things worked, I used to listen to the telephone switching equipment and wonder what was going on. The town I grew up in was served by the Bell system with a number 5 crossbar system installed about 1960. It got the job done, but didn't have much of a personality. But when it came time to call into Baltimore, you could tell by the sounds of the equipment that you were getting into something much older and much more interesting. As a matter of fact, once in a great while, after the crossbar system had made its characteristic sound, you might hear something like this. Unfortunately, that was a recreation, but it's pretty close to what it sounded like calling into Baltimore through the toll tandem and ending up in a panel office. What you heard was the crossbar 5 cutting through to the toll tandem, then the toll tandem communicating with the panel office through a process known as revertive pulsing, which was usually muted, but once in a while it wasn't. Then the panel office cutting through to a couple of classic Bell System Metropolitan ringtones. In order to see this equipment set up and running, I went to Seattle, Washington, to the Vintage Telephone Equipment Museum, which is run by the telephone pioneers there. I met with the curator, Don Ostrian, and I'll let him describe the museum to you.
This museum is a project that started probably due to the breakup of the Bell system and the rapid upgrade in technology up to the digital world like we're experiencing today. We started this project here in 1985 in a room that was totally vacant. It's approximately 6,600 square feet on this floor, and we've got about another 2,300 or 2,400 feet on the second floor. Every bit of equipment we have here we've brought in from various locations. As technology was being replaced in Washington and Oregon, we were allowed the privilege of tagging or bringing equipment into the museum from the tear-out jobs that were going on in the outlying locations. So we've got bits and pieces from all over. And we do have the panel, which is the earliest switch we have. We've got a number 5 crossbar, number 1 crossbar, a 355 step that's built out for demonstration purposes. It's got a switch for every digit in our 7-digit dialing train. And we've got a CX100, which is a North Electric product. They're all up and running and work, and we've been gradually over the last 15 years building this into as much of a working museum as we have equipment and time for, and we work continually. In fact, we're even working again today trying to find a problem with one of our senders in the panel office. But as technology changed, we did have the opportunity to gather things at little or no expense, because as our company at that time was Pacific Northwest Bell, we're removing equipment. They had to have it hauled to the salvage yard, so we just changed the address on specific frames, and the salvage yard became the museum through the dedicated work of about 20 or 25 volunteers. We do still work on it every Tuesday, and we have scheduled tours just about any time that accommodates various groups or individuals. We enjoy our work.
It's important to note that the Vintage Telephone Equipment Museum, like the Bell System before it, is made up of a group of very dedicated people. This tape is dedicated to all the people who made the telephone system work in years gone by. Now let's take a tour through the various types of Bell system switching. The Bell system used 3 basic types of electromechanical switching systems. First the step-by-step, then the panel, and the crossbar. The step-by-step system is represented by the 355A Community Dial Office. This was a system installed in villages and small towns and also served rural areas. In step-by-step switching, each selector has 10 levels and 10 contacts per level. When you dial a number, it interrupts the line corresponding to the number you dialed. For example, if you dial a 5, it interrupts the line 5 times. The switching unit picks this up and lifts the selector 5 levels. After that, the selector steps horizontally until it finds a pass to the next selector, and the process is repeated until you've dialed the entire number. This step-by-step system has an additional feature, a translator unit, which allows you to use a touch-tone phone to operate the step-by-step selectors. One of the things you'll notice about this tape and some of the other recordings we made at the Telephone Museum is that they were recorded right in the switch room. So you'll be able to hear not only what you heard as you were dialing the number, but also through the mouthpiece of the handset, you'll be able to hear the switching equipment working. Let's first dial a working number in the step using the touch tone phone. Could you hear the switches operating in the background? I'll play that part again and turn it up a little bit this time. The ringtone you hear is typical for this type of office, and the fact that there are two short rings rather than one longer one show that this exchange is set up for party line ringing. By using different combinations of short and long rings, anywhere up to 10 or 12 parties could share the same pair of wires. This was a throwback to the old days of the magneto telephone systems where such ringing codes were common. Now we'll call another number. This one will produce a busy signal. This tape was being recorded from trimline telephones with the dials built into the handset. We'll be recording from a rotary dial version this time. And since the dial is in the handset, you can really hear it working. You can also hear the switches working in the background. At the time this tape was made, not all of the exchanges in the museum could call all of the other exchanges. But one thing we could call from the step exchange was the Crossbar 5 exchange. The Crossbar 5 has a supervision test built into it, so let's call that. Notice that as we dial the digits of the number, after the first two digits, the step cuts through to the Crossbar 5. After that, the digits are being dialed straight into the Crossbar 5. So only the first two digits will sound like a normal step exchange. The ringtone on the Crossbar 5 is the same as on the step. This was definitely not typical for Crossbar 5, but Crossbar 5, like the panel and Crossbar 1, typically had the city ring that we heard at the beginning of this tape, like this. Some of the larger step-by-step exchanges in the Bell system, which appeared in the smaller cities, also use this ringtone. As the Bell system looked at the problem of converting its large city systems to dial service, they realized the step-by-step system just wasn't going to make it. It didn't have the capacity to switch calls between the different offices that was needed. This led to the development of the panel system, which was the next major advance in switching. The design of the panel system came out in 1915 and was commercially installed for the first time in 1921 in Omaha, Nebraska. This system uses five terminal banks of 100 terminals each mounted in a frame 12 feet high. The selectors in this system take the form of rods mounted in front of the terminal banks, with one brush on each rod for each terminal bank, for a total of 5 brushes. The rods can be driven up and down through a pinch roller arrangement in the base. This system was the first one to use any kind of intelligence. The device that controlled all this was called a sender. It took in your dialed digits, one at a time, and controlled the movements of the equipment necessary to reach the number you wanted. The sender would instruct one of the rods to start moving up the frame, and in order to make sure it reached the right terminal, on top of the frame there was a commutator for each selector rod, which sent pulses back to the sender, and the sender would simply count the pulses until it got to the right position, at which time it would stop the rod and lock it in place. This was called revertive pulsing, but it was also known as panel pulsing after the system in which it was introduced, and it formed the basis not only of the control for the panel system, but also a lot of the inter-office signaling between exchanges was accomplished with revertive pulsing. Although the various selector frames in the panel system looked pretty much alike, there were 4 different types. The first two were called the district and the office frames. These provided outgoing routes for calls to either the incoming part of the panel system or to another office. The incoming frame is the third one. This is where all the trunks coming into the panel system, as well as the trunks that were part of the same panel system, appeared. And on the final frame, the connection was made to the subscriber's line. In the first 3 frames, the district, office, and incoming, 2 movements were required to make a selection. The first movement drove the rod up about 1 to 2 inches, and then a trip rod tripped whatever brush of the 5 multiple brushes on the rod was within reach when the rod was in that position. In that way, the particular terminal bank was selected. The next selection was for the group of trunks going out of the terminal bank to the next frame, and that was accomplished with a second upward movement. Both of these upward movements sent revertive pulses back to the sender so that the sender knew where the rod was going and could stop it in the right place. On the final frame, the first movement selected the terminal bank as before. The second movement was the tens, the group of 10 lines where the subscriber's line was located, and the final movement, which was done at a very slow speed, selected the individual line that the selector was going to. This actually completed the call. And after that, the called telephone was rung if it was free, or a busy signal was passed back to the calling party if it was busy. So let's make a call in the panel system. The equipment we're using is a Western Electric number 202 handset desk stand with the later type F1 handset, which we could attach our pickup coil to. The earlier E1 handset would have been impossible. It's ringing into an old candlestick on Model 50, I believe, a Western Electric Model 50. You can hear the bell in the background. The ringtone is, again, non-standard for this type of system. And after the first 3 digits are dialed, you'll be able to hear some revertive pulsing, but not all of it. And you can't hear any revertive pulsing on the last 4 numbers. They have quite effectively muted the revertive pulsing on this system. There are other telephone tapes around where you can hear the revertive pulsing between digits quite clearly. Mark Bernay's Phone Trips site is probably the best of the bunch. I answered the call on the candlestick phone, which has its own characteristic sound. That was typical of how a 1920s telephone conversation would have sounded. I'll play that call again, and this time, again, we will amplify the sound that you hear between the digits that I dialed. Let's see just how much we can hear. If you can't hear the revertive pulsing, you will be able to hear the selectors moving in the background through the telephone's handset. Thank you. Okay, we tried. So let me just describe to you what happened on that call. After the first three digits were dialed, you could hear some sounds, although you couldn't hear the revertive pulsing very well. But the district selector was selecting a trunk to the incoming frame, which required two sets of pulses. You could actually hear some movement there, but the pulses were obscured. Once we were on the incoming frame, we had to go to the third terminal bank. We were dialing 5234, so the 5200 group is on the third terminal bank from the bottom, so you would have heard a very fast 3 to select the brush. On the third terminal bank, the 5200 group is on the third trunk group, so you would have gotten a slower 3. Then that would have taken you to the final frame, and you would have heard a very fast 3, because again we were going to the third terminal bank on the final frame, that's where the 5200 group would have been. And the last two digits would have been 4 and 5. The reason for that is that on the final frame, the 0 is on the bottom, so the pulses would be the number plus 1. 3 would be 4, 4 would be 5. So the pulses you would hear would be, after the fourth digit you would have heard a 3, after the fifth digit you would have heard a very slow 3, like clunk, 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 and then a very fast 3. After the sixth digit you would have heard a 4, and after the last digit you would have heard a 5, and then the sender would have cut off and the phone would ring. Okay, now let's call the supervision test in the crossbar 5. The panel office, when we dial the exchange to the crossbar 5, will select an outgoing trunk to the crossbar 5, and after that it will communicate by revertive pulsing, which we still can't hear, to the crossbar 5. Looking at a panel installation can be awe-inspiring. These frames are 12 feet tall, and when you think about it, the basic design came out in 1915, and all the complicated selector rods and sequence switches and all the rest are really amazing. They were a technological triumph in their day. The panel system made it possible to introduce dial service in large American cities. The obvious example was New York City. But Baltimore, Boston, Philadelphia, Omaha, Kansas City, Chicago, San Francisco, and of course Seattle, among other places, also used panel equipment. The very high number of moving parts was the panel system's downfall. The maintenance expense on these systems was quite high. In the 1930s, the Bell system acquired a patent from Sweden on a new type of switch called a crossbar. And in 1938, the first version of the Bell System crossbar came out. It was appropriately called the number 1 crossbar. It had the sender, which was not unlike that of the panel system, but it also had a device called a marker, which could trace a route through the system and then close the necessary relays to complete the connection. The crossbar switch itself was basically a multidimensional relay. And believe it or not, some very primitive computers were built using this technology. Like the panel system, the crossbar 1 is built in two sections, the originating section and the terminating section, and each section has its own marker. The markers, when they get their instructions from the sender, they close the necessary relays to complete the connection, then they test the connection, and then they leave the line. And when they leave the line, you can hear them, they go ka-chunk, ka-chunk, as we will hear on the following call. The equipment we're using to make calls on the crossbar 1 is a Western Electric 302 desk set. It has the same handset used on the 202 in the panel system, although on this case the F1 handset was standard with the 302, which was not the case with the 202. Now let's call from the crossbar 1 to the supervision test in the crossbar 5. And when you're standing at the crossbar 1 test board in the museum, the supervision test is actually mounted in the crossbar 5 frame directly behind you, so you can turn around and watch it work. It's kind of cool. The next major development in Bell system switching was the number 5 crossbar, which came out in 1948. This was originally developed as a suburban or isolated small city office, but with improvements it came to be used for just about all types of service you could imagine, from the smallest town to the largest metropolitan exchange. This system was not divided into incoming and outgoing sections as the panel and number 1 crossbar were. There was only one switching train, and only one marker used to complete the calls through that switching train. Therefore, after you dialed your number, you only heard one loud ka-chunk as the marker went offline. The first call we'll make in the crossbar 5 is from one crossbar 5 phone to another. Again, the equipment we're using on these calls is a Western Electric 302. Notice the later styled dial tone used on the crossbar 5. We heard it earlier on the step-by-step, and this dial tone indicates that the exchange can accept touch tone dialing. Now we'll call from the crossbar 5 to the crossbar 1. You'll hear the marker on the crossbar 5 cut out, and then it will cut through to the crossbar 1. Now we'll call the supervision test. Thank you. The Crossbar 5 inspired a prefabricated, very small switch called the Crossbar 3 in the late 60s. This was a prefabricated unit that simply had to be trucked to a location and slid into the building or lowered in by a crane, hooked up, and you had dial service just like that. We'll hear some tape of that in a future segment. The last switch at the Vintage Telephone Equipment Museum is not a Bell System Western Electric product. It was made by North Electric of Galion, Ohio. It's called the CX100 All Relay System. This unit started life as the switching system for the telephones on a battleship and was later disposed of as surplus property, bought by a small telephone company and used to provide dial service to a small area. It's set up with 10-party ringing, with coded ringing, 1, 2, 3, or 4 rings, depending on which number was dialed. And you can also dial a number simply by dialing the last 4 digits. You can leave the exchange off on this first call. That's what we're going to do. We're going to dial just the 4 digits and get the ringtone. The ringtone itself is kind of interesting. You'll hear sort of a continuous buzz with another buzz over top of it. And the second buzz that you hear over top of it, you'll hear 4 times, like buzz, 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 buzz. That's because we're calling a party that has a quadruple ring. Notice also that the dial tone is different on this switching system than on the other 4 systems we've listened to. That's because the CX100 has its own tone generating plant. By the way, these calls were being made from 554-style wall phones from the 1950s and 60s. This next call, we're going to dial the entire 7 digits on the CX100, and we'll end up with a busy signal. And it takes a while for this busy signal to reset and release the line after we hang up. Listen. Almost sounds like that quadruple ringtone we heard earlier, didn't it? Well, that's all for this segment. Now it's time to thank some people. First and foremost, Don Ostrand, the curator of the Vintage Telephone Equipment Museum. Also, Bob Dickensheets and Dick Benningson, who also showed me around that day. And Evan Doorbell.
I have a friend who loves the sound of panel pulsing.
For showing us how to really make these tapes up. And Mark Bernay.
I just love panel pulsing. I always have loved panel pulsing. Why do we have to take all the panel off of the way? Why?
For providing an outlet where these tapes can be heard. In the next segment, we'll go to Ellsworth, Maine, and visit the New England Telephony Museum, where they have a Crossbar 3 and another CX100, among other things. Coming up.